Good morning. Welcome to La Quinta Baptist Church. A special welcome if you're visiting for the first time. We have a visitor's packet we'd like to give you. So if you're a first-time visitor and you have not yet received that packet, if you raise your hand at this time, and the ushers will bring one to you. Family over here, pastor, gentleman with the blue shirt, and anyone else. As well as some information about our church, there's also a visitor's card inside. If you take a moment and fill out that card and drop it in the offering plate when it's passed, we'd appreciate having a record of your attendance with us. Again, welcome to Lock Haven Baptist Church. Brother Mike Nelson is going to come at this time and lead us in prayer.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be able to be here gathered in your house this morning, Lord. And as Brother Bill mentioned this morning, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the great weather you blessed us with. We thank you for another opportunity to be able to sing praises and bring our petitions of prayer to your holy name. We just pray, Lord, that you would be with this church service this morning, Lord. And we thank you for the song that we've already heard that's stirred our heart, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you would, your spirit would have the liberty to move in this service this morning. We just ask, Lord, that you would just forgive us of our sins and of everything done. Just wanted to bring your name, honor, and glory. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Holy, holy, holy.
seen in quite a while, David Norris, visiting with us this morning. Good to have you with us this morning, David. We're looking to our bulletins for activities of the day and of the week ahead. And lest I forget, time change is next Sunday. I heard a little bit about it during the week and asked some of the fellas this morning, and they checked it out. So Google says time change, and Wikipedia says time change. So that's as good as I can do this morning. So be prepared. It is the fall back next Sunday. This afternoon, there'll be the nursing home ministry at 3 p.m. at the Consulate Nursing Home. And those who normally eat out with the group, we've been invited to Sister Mary Varela's home to eat before the service there at the nursing home. And if you need that address, please see Pastor. Okay, I'm getting a signal from the back. Or Brother Nelson. Okay. All right. Thank you. So if you need the address for Sister Varela, see Brother Nelson. Or Pastor will be at the door. It might be a little awkward for him to be shaking hands and giving out address all at the same time. So see Brother Nelson to get that address. And then we'll meet at the nursing home, Consulate Nursing Home, at 3 p.m. This afternoon at 6, church-wide prayer. Also the children's and youth choirs. Our evening worship tonight at 6:30. Work night at the Scripture Press on Tuesday night at 6:45 p.m. On Wednesday, Discovery Club and the Youth Zone at 6:30. Our midweek prayer service at 7 o'clock. And then Thursday evening, November the 1st. November already. November the 1st, Men's Soul Winning Visitation at 6:45 p.m. All right, good missionary letter here from the Skolniks, our missionaries to Thailand. The Fishers of Men will be having a camp out in cooperation with Brother Ethan's class, and that will be on November the 9th. Guys of all ages are invited to join a Friday night camp out, November the 9th. There'll be a bonfire, and then the following morning will be the normal men's prayer breakfast and also the reveal of the men who have been mentors. And if you need more information, see Brother Hector Resto about that. There is some holiday giving opportunities listed here. There's going to be a special event at the nursing home on November the 30th where they share some pies, and you might want to be a part of that. Also, the Adopt-a-Kid ministry. We usually have a tree and put the children who ride the bus on their names on that tree, and then you select a child to get a gift for, and that will be available next Sunday. So be praying about that. Also, Christmas socks for the elderly. Bring a new pair of warm, fuzzy socks to be given during the Christmas season to our nursing home residents. So all those are good opportunities for ministry. Take your songbook, turn to page number 47. You may remain seated as we sing Footprints of Jesus, page 47.
Footprints of Jesus.
pastor of this month, the different Sunday school classes, taking a week and showing some little gift of appreciation. And that's going to come to an end tonight, because we're going to have a fellowship in his honor in the fellowship hall after the evening service. So come prepared for that with finger foods and desserts, and we'll have a good time of fellowship and showing our appreciation to Pastor Stockton. A note here from Sister Stacy Dyer. She needs to meet briefly with all the ladies who have volunteered to decorate a table for the ladies' Christmas luncheon this December. So after the morning service, if you would meet with Sister Dyer here in the front, if you have volunteered to decorate a table for the ladies' luncheon in December. You'll be praying for those on our prayer list. I noticed a lot of people traveling. Sister Stacy's away, Sister Toombs is away, the Joneses and the Burneys are away. I'm sure there's others who are traveling. And so pray for their safety and their safe return. And also remember those who need our prayers as far as their healing. Take the song book, turn to page number 205. Let's stand together, and the ushers will come forward on the last verse of Wonderful Words of Life, 205.
Thank you.
may be seated. To all of you. Good to see you today. I'm about half dressed. I forgot all about this thing. This is what happens when you get sick. You get what you got to do. Thank you guys for taking care of everything while I was out Wednesday. And it's good to be back with you. It's good to have visitors here with us this morning. We have Brother Roberts and his wife and family visiting, and they're missionaries with Beams, Bible Education and Missionary Services out of Gulfport, Mississippi, and our paths crossed several years ago. I was in Alamogordo, New Mexico, which is where Sister Swagman's from, at Brother Hodges' church, and I was on a missionary journey raising support, and then I went down to El Paso
to be with Brother Bob Stewart, and the brother Bob Stewart said, "Well, I'm going to call a friend of mine. He's in the world's largest trailer park in Chaparral, New Mexico." And that's where Brother Roberts was at, and went up there in their church, helped us and supported us to Greece, and we're thankful for that. So I'm glad they're here with us this morning. I hope that they have a wonderful time here on vacation in Florida, in Orlando. You can eat up much of your vacation funds on our toll roads if you're not careful. So I hope they do enjoy themselves while they're here. We have another visiting family from Indiana, and hope they enjoy themselves as well. And somebody's played a prank on me, put a cockroach up here on the counter. Look at that. Like, what is this thing doing up here? I'll leave it right there. At least it's not the kind we need rave with. We just giggle about. Thank you, all the classes, all the Sunday school classes, for all the gifts and cards and things of that nature that y'all did, gave throughout this year, this month, on Pastor Appreciation. Now, this is probably, I have to be a little biased. That's all the nursery kids' feet. Avery, Micah, Joash, Paul, Malachi, Logan, Bella, Skyler. All different colors. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Thank you, nursery workers and nursery kids. That is precious right there. I'll leave that so y'all can stare at that. It's a better thing to look at than me, for sure. You don't agree with that, or you agree with it? Looking forward to being with Sister Miriam after church, over eating with her. She said the food will be ready probably between 1 and 1:15, so if you're able to go with us and eat over there, and you'd normally go to the nursing home with us, that'd be a blessing if you want to join us. Brother Mike has the address, and she's also printed off a few handheld. I can just pass them out quickly as you pass out the door if you don't have it. Let me know about that. Colossians chapter number 3 this morning. One of our bus riders, we moved to Ocala. Her dad fell off a ladder yesterday. Y'all remember Amaya? Her dad fell off a ladder, broke his pelvic, some ribs, and some back bones. So y'all be in prayer as they go through the... He's not paralyzed, so praise God for that. But they just moved up to Ocala, I don't think. What was it, 3 months ago maybe? So be in prayer for them. I'm sure that's going to be difficult on the family, as not being able to work and provide a little bit there. And Brother Ray informed me this morning that he's made the decision that at the end of November he's moving back to Tennessee. We will definitely miss Brother Ray. He's a sunshine of Ray in our life. And we do understand that's where his family's from, and home, back home. And that's the end of November, so y'all get to be praying for him. And as he makes this journey back up into Tennessee, we have enjoyed him here at Lock Haven. It's been a real blessing to be with us. All right, Colossians chapter 3. We have been in a series of going through the book of Colossians, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And we are in chapter 3 now. And we had a break last week. We had Brother Lancaster in. He preached for us Sunday morning, Sunday night. Kind of in the middle of the series. I try to do that when I do a series on Sunday morning. I try to bring somebody in and towards the middle to give us a little break, a little recess time, so we can get back in it. Now, chapters 1 and 2 were primarily doctrinal type passages that dealt with issues in the Christian life, and there were doctrinal errors that we saw that Paul had to address: circumcision, baptism, resurrection, angels. Somebody asked me after I preached on that, you know, sometimes you get to preaching, you get to going so fast and you don't make the thought process clear. I said, Pastor, sound like you didn't believe in angels. Oh, no, I believe in angels. The Bible says very plainly that we are to be careful lest we entertain one without being aware of the fact. But worshiping angels are not for. Angels were messengers from God that came and brought messages from God to man, not hidden secrets that only one certain group would know. So that was the doctrinal error, that we put too much emphasis on worshiping. Matter of fact, if you go through the scriptures and you read and study about angels, every time they would come in the form of a man, the person might bow down to worship him, and the angel immediately would say, hey, get up. Not to worship the angels, okay? So I believe in angels. I do. So just so we're clear on that. But I'm not clear on worshiping. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, and he's worthy of all of our worship and all of our praise. So Jesus is there, and he's the one. So they asked me about that, so I wanted to make that clear as we went on. And so today, what we get into in chapter number 3 is, it's about the everyday Christian life. So Paul took us and he corrected some doctrinal errors, gave us some biblical truths, and now he's saying, okay, this is how we're going to live this, and we're going to do this. And that's what we need to do, is get to the point where we understand the biblical truth, and then we put it into action, we apply it to our everyday life as we go. If you would, let's just back up to Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, and read 12 and 20, verse 12 and verse 20 to let you see what's happening here. Colossians chapter number 2, verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. So we were buried, now we're risen. Look at verse 20. Wherefore, okay, because of all this, wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to the ordinances? Okay, so Paul said, here's the truth, this is the biblical truth, this is how we're supposed to do it. And then the question is, well, why am I subject to X, Y, or Z? And so Paul begins in chapter number 3 to give us the practical application of these biblical truths. Holy living is only possible in Christ. Outside of Christ, there's no way that you or I can live holy. It's just impossible. We can be moral. We can be good people. I know good people all around the world. But dear friend, you cannot be holy without Christ. And so Christ alone is our hope for living a holy life. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And so that's where we want to be. In our practical, everyday living, we want to live in Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 this morning. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So the source of our Christian life, the ability to live a good, godly, God-honoring Christian life is shown to us here in verses 1 through 4. We are reminded, it says there in verse number 1, if, now here's the big question, if, here's the question, are you in Christ? Well, I was a good person back when, you know, when I was in elementary school. That's not going to get it. For there's none good, no, not one. Well, I sung in the choir. When I was a child, I was in children's choir. I went to vacation Bible school every summer. Matter of fact, my mama had me in vacation Bible school all throughout the county. That's because she was bad. She wanted some free time. Just honest. Okay? Back then, back in the 70s, they didn't have all these soccer teams and softball and baseball teams. They were searching vacation Bible school. Where can I get my kids to? Now we parents, we've done hoodwinked. We run from soccer to football, back and forth, back and forth. I know I've done it now for how many years? My oldest son's 32, and oh man, alive. You just get going. And you just try to keep the kids busy, and I'm telling you something, outside busy is good. If your kid hadn't ate about 5 pounds of dirt by the time they're 18 years old, you got some problems. You're spending too much of the time inside watching TV. You spend too much time on them cell phones and them iPads and them game station boxes. They need to be outside, because I'm going to tell you that outside dirt that God put down is much better to be involved in and eaten in than that dust inside your home. Get them outside. Let them enjoy the beauty. Let them enjoy God's creation. Let them see God's domain, the beauty of God's creation. So being in vacation Bible school, being in Sunday school, you know, memorizing scripture, praise God for it. You know what? If you don't know Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, I don't care if you can memorize and pronounce and say orally in front of 100,000 people the whole first 5 books of the Bible. Without Christ, you'll just die a smarter, hell-bound sinner. That's it. So praise God. We don't memorize scripture to get us saved. We hide the word of God in our heart that we might not sin against God. But first and foremost, do you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If. That's a pretty good question there. If. But if you read it through, if then. Paul's now assuming. Listen, if then, since you have trusted Christ, well, when did that happen? Well, you realized that you was a sinner before God, that you needed Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, that all your good works, everything that you laid out good, everything you hoped to do, wanted to do, all the religious things you want to do, they come up wanting, and you knew that you needed Christ. Christ died on the cross of Calvary, that you might have eternal life, and you looked to God and said, God, I've tried good works, I've been bad, I've been sorry, I've done things that I shouldn't have done, I've done things that I should have done, but it's left me wanting. I need Christ. And Jesus says, any that shall call out to me shall be saved. You put faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, God, I'm sorry that I've transgressed your law. I need Jesus. And you trust Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. At that point, dear friend, you are born again. Faith in Christ, repentance towards God, and you become a child of God. If ye then be risen. Wait a minute. What? I was dead in trespass and sin, right? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1. I was dead in trespass and sin, but quickened. I've been made alive. I've been risen in Christ. If I've been risen with Christ. So here's the reminder. This is what's going to help us live a holy, practical, everyday Christian life, is to remind ourselves, not maybe so, not hoping so. Listen, if you just hoping so, maybe so, thought you had a job, you wouldn't go up there, would you? You'd be looking for a no-so job. That's why many of us Christians don't live the way we should live, and the life that we should live is that we're hoping we're going to get to heaven someday. If you are in Christ, dear friend, you are on your way to heaven. If you then be risen in Christ, so you have to remind yourself, this is a dying daily. This is waking up every morning when your eyes wake up and those boogers over in the corner of your eye, you wipe them off. Before you get them out, you know you're still a child of God. You then be risen in Christ. So the practical everyday living is to remind yourself that you are a child of God. My pastor, it's already 1 o'clock, and man, I have messed up I was going pretty good about till 8:30, 9 o'clock, and then my mind began to wonder. What happened? I began to think about things. Something was presented to me. The flesh has a strong appetite. And by my lunch, I was fighting it. Then all of a sudden, about 1 o'clock, Pastor, I don't know what to do. He's faithful and just to forgive us of all sins. Why in the world, dear friend, if you know all that, you know it's there. It's a trap. It's the wiles of the devil. It's sin that's been laid there to devour you. He's a thief that comes to kill and to steal and destroy. How come it is, dear friend, that you allow yourself after? Listen, I understand. If any man have not sinned, he's a liar. That's what 1 John says. I understand that. But when you, Brother Ray, when you figure out you done waded off knee deep up in that thing, I mean, whatever it is, I mean, you're knee deep up in it. Why in the world are we waiting until, well, I'm going to get it right on the Lord's Day? You didn't get in it in the Lord's Day. You got in it on Tuesday. Why in the world are you waiting until Sunday to get your heart right with God? Immediately remind yourself who you are. My kids go off and they want to do something. I'm telling you, my wife's good about it. She'll text them even today. Matter of fact, she was talking to Benji the other day and Cindy said, she said, now son, and he before she could say it, I know, Mom, remember who I am. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Since, okay, here, let me put it like this. If, in view of, since I'm a child of God, because I'm a child of God, since I am a child of God, let's read it again. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Listen, remember who you are. Keep your goals and your activities of life. Your goals and activities of life, keep them aimed at Christ above. That's what Paul's teaching us right there. So I'm all weighted out of it. I'm knee deep up in it. Listen, different. I understand you can wake up. Some of us are just walk around sinners. Some of us do it willingly. The Bible says you are willingly ignorant. Some of us are just hoodwinked really quick. Some of us different. Listen, some of us young Christians. Some of us have just been saved a little while. Some of us have some baggage. Some of us have been carrying some ideas and preconceived ideas about the Christian life that have no biblical background in them. Some of us think, well, just because I come to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I'm okay. Different, that's only 3 hours at the most out of the week. That's not going to make you okay. I've told you this 100,000 times, dear friend. You can climb up into your refrigerator and sit there for 3 hours, and then they open up the door. You're not going to be a gallon of milk. You're just going to be cold and cramped up. You don't want to be having though. You get your chest. I mean, you just wow. Man, pretty nice to. That's anyway, ain't it, Brother Lee? You didn't even got to get up in the refrigerator. Sit in our recliners and we stand up and we're trying to. We need a. Listen, we sit for 10 minutes and we need a 45 minute calisthenic workout just to get our bodies moving. How are we going to live a Christian life, dear friend? We're going to have to constantly remind ourselves, Brother Chris, who we are. If ye then be risen in Christ Jesus, when I'm way deep up into this, or I'm up to this and that, hey, listen, I stop. Remind myself, what are you doing? I'm not returning back to the vomit. I'm not going back to the dirt. I will not be in bondage again to those things which did me absolutely no good.
this amazes me. In my own life, listen, man, in my own life, there's been times that I have done things that have caused me pain and heartache and trouble. You know what the Bible calls stubbornness? Stiff-necked, rebellious. That's what the Bible calls it, okay? And I know, sister, and listen, I've done it. It's caused me heartache, caused me pain. It's caused me difficult in relationships. And before I know it, I'm a child of God now. Listen, I'm talking about before I was saved. I'm talking about when I was not without Christ as my hope, and I was out with the Holy Spirit not living within me. I was not part of God. I was alienated. I was enemies of the cross. I did those things, and then after I got saved, they did it absolutely no good before I got saved. They didn't help me in my walk, didn't help me in friendships, didn't help me at my job, they didn't help me in nothing. So all of a sudden, after I got saved, I'm walking in the Lord and I'm serving God. The mind, the flesh, and the devil, and friends that I call friends reminded me of how good times I had. And I fall for that crazy stuff. Until the Lord wakes me up and says, son, it didn't do you a bit of good back then 12, 15, 20 years ago. Why are you fooling around? And matter of fact, I'm going to be honest with you. After I got saved and I come to my senses, it was way worse. The way of the transgressor's heart. The Holy Spirit, listen, the Bible says that God chastens those whom He loves. It was worse. So if it didn't do me any good before I got saved, what in tarnation is it going to do for me after I got saved? What is it going to do for me? You know what it's going to do? It's going to cause my fellowship with God to be broken. So how do I get victory? I remind myself. If ye then. So since I am, but because I am saved, I am going to yield myself an instrument of righteousness because that's what I'm seeking. What's Matthew 6 say? 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So I remind myself. I know these errors. I know the biblical truths. I know that they're there. So I am reminded. And I remind myself. That's what the Bible talks about. Dying daily. I make a choice. I make a choice that when I leave my home, I'm going to remind myself that be ye holy for I'm holy. What sort of things are pure? Think upon these things. Well, I find my mind. I pass by a billboard. I hear some guys at work talking about some kind of humor. Off-color humor. Well, it's acceptable, Pastor, because it's humor. Are you kidding me? That ain't going to fly. That's going to fall like a lead balloon when you stand before Jesus Christ. Can you imagine, Brother Paul, I'm standing there at the Bema City of Christ. And I'm giving an account of myself. That's in the Bible, by the way. I'm giving an account to... I'm not talking to Gabriel. I'm not talking to Saul, Paul, Jeremiah. I'm not talking to Amos. I'm talking to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And I say, you know what, Brother Jim? Son, you were doing so good this day. You passed out three tracts. You talked to this person about coming to church. And you presented me. You prayed that morning. Then you got to work. Now, look, the Lord's showing me this. And there was old Steve and Joe over there having a cup of coffee. So you decided to go have a cup of coffee with them. And I'm gonna slip a tract over to them and ask them to come to church. And when I sit down, Joe's telling me about the night he had. And telling Steve about all the fun he was enjoying. But when I realized he was doing things he shouldn't have done, but they were giggling about it, I just decided to giggle with them. And Lord, it was awful funny at the time. It was humorous. He's going to put fire to that, dear friend. It's going to burn up and you're going to be left with ashes. That's how this humor. Well, you know, I was just watching it. It was funny on TV. I'm going to tell you something, dear friend. Let me pause before I go crazy. This stuff we're watching on TV and laughing at that's against God and against Scripture, dear friend, we're going to give an account for it. It ain't funny in the eyes of God when it goes contrary to Scripture. I don't care how many 30-minute segments you're watching and made amends with yourself. When it goes contrary to the Word of God, we're not getting away with it. Why? Because I'm to seek the kingdom of God, the things of God. So I remind myself, and then here's the realization. Look at verses 1 and 2, back in Colossians chapter 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. What's to set your affections? That's which is near and dear to your heart. And I'm just at the point, dear friend, that I'm just realizing that many of us as God's children, that which is nearest and dearest of our heart is that which is around us. And that's why we put up with some of this foolishness. That's why we allow some of these things. That's why we live the way we do, because that which is near and dearest to our heart is here. It's all around us. Let Christ become real to you. We got too many of God's children just running around glad. We got a hell fire insurance in our pocket. I'm on my way to heaven, so let it be. This is my life. I can do what I want in my life. What in the world is that preacher talking about right now? Some of you are getting fired up mad right now. You think you're about to flip over the s'mores on me. You got to turn it over. You ain't even thinking about it now because you're upset because I started talking about holy living. This is my life. I do what I want, do what I please. But that's where it goes. There's the problem right there. What's the problem, Pastor? What? Know you not? You're not your own. That's the problem. You are God's. You belong to God, and God, the God of heaven, the sovereign God of this universe, through the Holy Spirit of God, lives within you if you're His child. So you've got to let it become real to you. It's got to be, this whole thing of Christian walk has got to be real. We're not doing this for just show. Brother Harry, did you come up here just to show yourself to us this morning? Or did you come to visit with God? I come to visit with God, dear friend. I come to where two or three are gathered in His name. There He is. I want to come and spend time with the Lord. And I want to have fellowship. I want Him to feed me through the Scriptures. I want this to be so real to my life as though, not as though, He is in me. The hope of glory. And so if He's here within me, then we've got to realize, and it's got to be real to us, that wherever we go, whatever we do, wherever we sit down, wherever we spend our time, if He is here with us, He is also there with us. If not, we have a religion that says that we can check in and out of salvation. And as far as I know, the Bible teaches that once I am saved, I am sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And that means wherever and whatever and however I live, Christ in me is there also. We've got to get to the point where Christianity is real 24/7, dear friend. Not just on Sunday morning, Sunday night. Praise God for your souls. Listen, it's such an encouragement to look out here and see you folks here and see and know that you're here and want to worship God. You want to be there. Then I look out on Sunday night and there you are again. I think, man, this is encouraging. Then on Wednesday night I look out there again. Praise God for it. That is wonderful. I mean, that is terrific. But it brings no joy to a pastor's heart, and I guarantee it brings no joy to God's heart, that we put on Christianity on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and then Monday morning, Tuesday, Wednesday, all the other days of the week, we live as we please. Brings no joy. It's got to be real 24/7. Well, why? Here's the reason. Verse 3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Because we're in Christ. That's the reason. Well, that's awful simple. I was looking for something a little bit deeper. That's our problem. Now, what we're looking for is an excuse to live the way we want. To do the things we want. And not to be subject to the things of God. What other reason do we need, Kinley, than for ye are dead, your life is hid with Christ in God. There's two things I see in there. Two things. One thing I see is secrecy. When you're dead, it's kind of secret. I see secrecy in there. Well, what do you mean secrecy? Here's the problem, dear friend. When we live outside of Christ, well, how do I know the boundaries? The boundaries are right here. He's given us boundaries. I told you 100 times, I don't like playing games where they change the rules on me when they get to winning. I don't care if we're playing jump rope. If the rules are, if I jump 10 times, I win. Don't let me get to 9 and fix the goal and say, oh no, it's 15. If we're playing hide and go seek, hid, I'm hid. Brother Ray's hiding, Brother Bill's hiding, Brother Chris is hiding, and I come running over here going, I catch Brother Chris, and Brother Bill says, oh, really, if you're going to get him hit, you got to climb under his legs. Where'd that rule come from? I don't like playing games with people that change the rules in mid-stride. Set the rules and look. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. He changed the rules. They're the same when he wrote them as they are and will be for not a jot nor a tittle. So we got to be case of, well, that ain't going to cut it. They're there. So, if I'm hid, there's secrecy in Christ, but I start living outside of Christ by not obeying the Word of God, not being fulfillment of Scripture, I'm not following the path of the Word of God, and I start living outside of, what do they see? People begin to see me. How many times have you heard this? I ain't going to that church. That guy, that woman, she is a hypocrite. What happened? At some point, sometime in their life, they saw you live unhid in Christ. That's it. Who are people to see? Brother Biz, who are people to see? Christ, the hope of glory. But how many times, you know it as well as I'm guilty different. I am guilty of standing up here before you. I'm not pointing fingers at you. I'm telling you fact and truth, dear friend. There's been times in my own family's life. There's been times in my co-worker's life. There's been times with those friends around me that they saw not Christ. They saw me. And I, as I stand alone, am repulsive. Who would want to be me? They should see Christ in me, the hope of the Lord. I am hid in Christ. And not only is there secrecy in Christ, what do you mean? Listen, God knows you're a sinner. Don't you hate it? Look, I don't know about you, but when I hear somebody say, Brother Lane, just carefully comes to Brother Lane, Brother Jim told me you had this problem. Don't you hate that? What in the world? Can you imagine what the devil shows up for? Hey, Lane, he's got a problem. You know what Jesus says? What sin are you talking about? It's covered. It's under the blood. It's gone. Why? I'm hid in Christ. But when I choose to step outside of that secrecy, that love covers a multitude of sin. Whose love? God's love. There ain't enough love in us. Because I'm going to tell you, you know something about him. You might be my friend today. Brother Red, listen, you know as well as I'm talking about. We're good. We're buddy-buddy drinking some coffee. We fist bump. My team wins. Your team wins. We're all happy. We're good. Let me cross, Brother Ray. Let me cross in just a moment. It may not be right then, but the devil will work it, Brother Ray. And he'll prick it, Brother Ray. And he'll get it, Brother Ray. And Brother Ray will see me happy one day. And the devil will say, look, you know his sin. You know. There ain't enough love, Brother Ray, in us to cover it. But hid in Christ Jesus, it's covered. Not only is there secrecy, there's safety. There's safety in Christ. Let's read that verse again. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. In the Father's hand, in Christ's hand, and no man can pluck you out. Nothing. You need a better reason than this? Then you're a child of God to live right, to do right, to be honest before God and before man, to wax strong in spirit and in grace before God and man. I don't know what we can do for you. We can get you over to SpaceX and we can let them send you to Mars and you can rove around on Mars. Maybe you can find something out there. A reminder, I'm in Christ. The realization that every day, every minute, every second, I am a child of God. The reason that I live the way I live is because I'm hid in Christ. And then we're done. I bet you was glad too. We're done. I'm going to stick a fork in it. We're done. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, praise God for it. Aren't you thankful, dear friend, that you don't... It's our life is in Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. You know, it's going to help us live that practical, everyday Christian life when we understand that the revelation of Christ could be at any moment. At any moment. When Christ is manifest and He appears, and we which are alive in Christ Jesus, those which are dead in Christ shall be caught up together, and forever, in a moment of the twinkle of an eye, we shall be with Him forever in glory. That should help us live a practical, everyday Christian life. Why, Pastor? Because the way we live says, we're obeying verse 1 and 2, seeking things. We've set our affections on things above. Are we too interested in everything around here? Or the reason that we are hid in Christ really doesn't matter. I'm just okay. Me, I'm all right how I am. No need to change. And what do we do with verses like, add to your faith? There's no need to change. What do we do with verses like, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, behold, all things are passed away, and all things become new? What do we do with passages like that? Do we become Bible scoffers? Do we become anti-Bible? Do we become those that write these new verses that's all around us, and we say, well, that verse isn't important, this and I don't like it. We may not take it, Bible, and go by it, but our life. Well, I'm King James only. Well, we pick and we choose and we pluck and we tear and we put away. So that and me, sound like a bunch of goats. Instead of sheep. Let's stand our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Christ shall appear, dear friend. One day, as it is proclaimed in Scripture, we shall be caught up in glory with Him. The practical life is in Christ. It's not a bunch of do's and don'ts. That's what grabs us. Do's, don'ts. No, it's being hid in Christ.